Swayam Rupakadamayam Vanchakalpa Krubhyascha Krupasindrubhyevacha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shyadvaita Gadadhara Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it is very nice, great pleasure for me to be part of this celebration together with my esteemed senior Siksha Guru, His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, Ram Govinda Maharaj, Kadambakar Maharaj, who was also here earlier, and all of you, you're also Vaishnavas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, alone I have no strength. Ekala, Hami, Bala, famous statement. Ekala, alone, Ami, Nahi, Bala, Bala, Nahi. Alone I have no strength. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that. Alone I have no strength. So, everything that's happened in South Africa since Shudi Prabhu came in 1972, it's been a collective effort. And many persons have contributed. We're just hearing of some of the realizations of the Vaishnavas, Savakanti, etc., Nanda Chandrika, Tripandra Prabhu, Bhakti Tiru, Dhruvananda. It goes right back, even before then, to a devotee called Gokulendra, who is, I'm in touch with him, but he's not associating so much. Rochini, who bought a Cater Ridge farm. There's a whole tradition, history of how the yatra evolved. And it was a collective contribution. During the time of Jayatirtha, he contributed. And then, of course, Bhagavan Maharaj, he also contributed in an important way. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. So, alone I have no strength. So alone, we don't have that strength. Prabhupada gave the example of the one twig. It is not a weapon, but you bind many twigs together and it can bring down an elephant. It is a formidable weapon. So we're associating, we're helping each other. Sometimes one may be a leader. Sometimes you may have to play second fiddle. Do you know what that means, second fiddle? Do you know what it means? Second fiddle. When the London Philharmonic Orchestra play some Handel's Messiah, the conductor comes in, everyone stands. It's the conductor, big time. And the conductor points to the first violinist, and he or she stands. But the second violinist doesn't stand. They don't get that respect. So sometimes you have to play second fiddle. You know, it's not always your name that goes forward, but you're supporting someone else. You're helping them. So Prabhupada wanted this mood of cooperation. And to the degree that we can cooperate, to that degree, we can expand, or first maintain what we have, and then expand. To the degree that we cooperate. In 1968, Prabhupada wrote a letter to Brahmananda. This is important, because Brahmananda was the GBC of Africa. Brahmananda, who is now deceased, he's with Lord Krishna. He tried to come to South Africa, but they wouldn't let him in because he was blacklisted. Even when Prabhupada came to South Africa, Brahmananda wanted to come, couldn't. So they had to get Harikesh Prabhu to be his secretary. Not secretary, servant. Pushta Krishna was secretary, yeah. So Prabhupada wrote a letter to Brahmananda and said, "You are all parts of my body. You are all parts of my body," referring to his disciples. "If you do not cooperate, how will I exist? How will I exist?" So the dedicated disciples of Prabhupada and grand disciples cooperate together. And in that cooperation comes strength. In that cooperation, in that unity, comes Shakti. Shakti. So I want to encourage you to continue to understand this basic principle. There are other bona fide Vaishnava institutions other than ISKCON, but the degree of cooperation amongst them is somewhat less. We have a somewhat higher level of cooperation. Just recently, 35 of our senior Vaishnavas, including His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, met for some 10 or 12 days, 2 weeks, in Mayapur, discussing different aspects of this mission, Guru Tattva, various things, how to expand the TOVP, the Temple of Vedic Planetarium, sitting around discussing for many hours, because there has to be discussion, planning ways forward. Then recently we had some meetings here in South Africa. We call them National Council meetings. So remember this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying, "Alone I have no strength. It's only in the association of Vaishnavas." It's got to be in the association of Vaishnavas. So we're very blessed in South Africa. We have Srila Bhakti Chaitanya Mahaprabhu residing here, spending perhaps half his time here. Kadamba Karmaj coming often. Ram Govinda, some 3 months now, I think, a year. Other senior Vaishnavas also, Kadamba Karmaj, Bhakti Marg Maharaj. Others come more briefly. And we have local Vaishnavas also, Govardhan Prabhu, Vibhu Chaitanya, Vibhuti Shakti, Vibhu Chaitanya, Sarup Damodar, very nice Vaishnava. And ladies also, senior ladies coming, and Umila. And so alone, we cannot succeed. But in the association, we can succeed. And in the spiritual world, when we actually enter into Krishna's pastimes, it's not you and Krishna. It doesn't work like that. There are so many other Vaishnavas, residents of Vrindavan. They're there also in Goloka Vrindavan. You associate with them. So we're learning how to associate. We're learning how to work with each other here. This is called sadhana. And Goloka Vrindavan is sadhya. So sadhana, the practice. We are apprentices. We are practicing. We're all practicing here. So this is a wonderful celebration. 40 years Nitai Gaura Hari were established. We'll have another festival in another 10 years' time. We'll call it the 50th year. And then the installation of Radha Radhanath. We'll have those festivals. And so many years after Prabhupada came. So we want to work together. It's essential. Otherwise our potency is lessened. It's very simple. The followers of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, very sincere, very nice Vaishnavas, but they didn't want to choose to work together. they chose to work in a separate way. But Prabhupada really stressed this, working together. And actually it's the most difficult thing. It is very, very difficult working with other people to preach Krishna consciousness, a genuine spiritual mission in the Kali Yuga. And you see how fast Kali Yuga is moving, is it not? So fast. I was speaking with one student. She's a teacher at a private school, and she was telling me 5-year-olds are seeing child psychologists, child psychiatrists, and they're on pills for attention deficit disorder, anxiety disorders. 5 years old. I was thinking, what will these pills do to a 5-year-old? You know, the brain is still growing. So Kali Yuga is a very promiscuous time. It's a difficult time. And people are going to become more promiscuous, more licentious. You know these words? Licentious, hedonistic, sensual. Sensual. We're seeing it. So the only solution is Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada described it, Lord Chaitanya's Sampradaya in the Western world. That is ISKCON. Lord Chaitanya's Sampradaya in the Western world. And Prabhupada said, it is my success, it is my joy, it is my life. So if it is Prabhupada's success, life and joy, should it not also be our life and our success and our joy? So whatever it takes to keep things going, to maintain and to expand. And this, by this we get Kripa. Kripa means mercy. Mercy descends from above. And we get Kripa from Prabhupada, from Prabhupada's disciples. Kripa will come, mercy. And that is how you advance. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta has said, mercy, kripa, grace is more important than endeavor. Endeavor means you're trying, you're doing, and you have to try, you have to do. But kripa, or mercy, or grace, Bhaktisiddhanta said, is more important. So that doesn't mean we just sit here in our house in Randburg or Midran and just wait for mercy to come through the ceiling. No, we have to endeavor. We have to act ourselves and try. But we should understand the statement, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Mercy and kripa, grace, is more important than endeavor. According to one of my godbrothers, Bhavananda Prabhu, Prabhupada quoted a statement by Shakespeare from Midsummer Night's Dream. And it was, mercy with its unrestrained quality droppeth like gentle rain from the heavens. It's nice, isn't it? Huh? Mercy with its unrestrained quality droppeth like rain from the heavens. So this kripa, this mercy we want, it comes from above, it comes from your Diksha Guru, it comes from your Siksha Guru, it comes from Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinod. Going all the way back to Nittai. He's the Adi Guru, Nittai, Nittai Gaurahari. So thank you so much for being part of this mission. Without doubt, you'll get mercy, kripa, from Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda, Gokishore, Six Goswamis. No doubt you will. This mercy, vaitiki, it will come, causeless, causeless. Just continue trying to work together and place all your faith in Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Varga. Varga means elders. This is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Gokishore, Bhaktivinoda. Prabhupada is representing. You know, you can't separate Prabhupada from the parampara. You can't separate the parampara from Prabhupada. He is representing Kripa from Bhaktisiddhanta. Who is representing the Kripa from Gokishore? Who is representing from Bhakti Vinod? Who is representing from Rupa Goswami? Bande Rupa Sanatana Raghurido Sri Jiva Gopala, the six Goswamis. So thank you so much for participating. And it's my great honor to be part of this mission and to be an insignificant instrument in trying to establish Krishna consciousness in this darkest tip of Africa. I was told I was distributing books, Oxford Street, 1973, and I was finding it really tough. Not easy to give out books. Bhakti Chaitanya Mahaj and myself used to give out books. That's all we did, 7 days a week. You had Sunday off, but I still used to go to Portobello Road and distribute books. So I was struggling a little, and then one devotee, he said, "Hey, Papa, would you like to come to South Africa?" And I said, "I don't mind, whatever the authorities say." So then he came back and he said, "No, the authorities have said yes." So then I tried to figure out, where is South Africa? Now, logic dictates it's somewhere in Africa. And south would mean the bottom. So that's all I knew. And the next minute, I'm on an aircraft. It was in May 1974. And I'm flying to South Africa. And I'm thinking, it's going to be jungle. It's going to be bush. I won't need a sleeping bag. I was very good at climbing trees when I was young. And I loved reading Tarzan books. I read all of Edgar Burroughs Rice, all of his Tarzan books. I was a Tarzan fan. So on the aircraft, I'm looking around, and the one devotee is next to me, Janak Raj. And then I see in front of me, there was no business class. It was all economy. And who do I see sitting in the front? Manchester United, George Best. Hey! George Best. At that time, he wasn't drunk. And he had been invited by the Jewish community or something to give some talk. So I walked past him and looked at him. I thought, should I get his biography, his signature? I thought, no, it's not so important. So then I'm sitting and thinking, well, we'll shortly be in the jungle. Can't wait. Climb those trees. Can't wait. And then the person behind me says, "Yes, Johannesburg, population 4 million. 4 million? And then I look out of the window when we're coming in, and I see all the streets, and particularly I see the swimming pools. You know, Johannesburg has more swimming pools than any other city in the world. So I go, "Hey, am I on the right flight? Is this right? I can't understand." And then I land in Johannesburg. And it was winter, it was May, it was cold. It was very cold. So we landed in Johannesburg, and then we had to catch a train to Cape Town. Because the devotees were in Cape Town. They had trouble with the security police. So they thought, security police is in Pretoria. We will go as far away as possible from Pretoria. So the security police, apartheid police, won't bother us. So they thought Cape Town. So I had to catch a train to Cape Town, but the train was 8 hours later. So we went to Johannesburg Library. So I'm sitting in Johannesburg Library. It's got many steps and pillars and columns, and I'm with this devotee called Janaka Raj. So in the Johannesburg library, there was cordoned off, there was an old coach that used to be pulled by horses. You know those old coaches pulled by horses? Antique. And there were signs everywhere, do not touch, do not touch. And it was from 100 years ago. So I'm looking at it, thinking, very good, very nice. So Janaka Raj, he's Brahmachari, and he was quite adventurous. He decided that he would climb into the coach, and in the coach, he would chant his japa. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So he did that. And as he started chanting, he started rocking from one side to the other. So the coach started to rock from one side to the other. And the managing director, who was a staunch Afrikaner, you know, the moustache and everything, you know, safari shorts, he became so angry, and he rushed up to the coach and threw open the door and got hold of Janaka Raj and dragged him out and threw him down all the steps of the Johannesburg Library. This is all within 1 hour of arriving. So I'm thinking, well, what should I do? I mean, this god brother, he's being attacked. You know, and I did judo when I was young. So should I spring to his defense? Should I save him like a Kshatriya? And I looked at the Afrikaans man, and he was very big. And he was mean. And I thought, no, no, I'll leave it. So that was my first experience of South Africa. My friend being thrown down the steps of the Johannesburg Library. And then we walked to the Johannesburg Railway Station, and we caught a train all the way to Cape Town. And you know, you hear these crickets, and they make that cricket sound at night. So on the train, I started hearing these crickets making cricket sounds. And I'd never heard them before. The only time I'd ever heard them was when I'd seen a TV program of a cowboy film, you know, and they had the crickets there, you know, So it was the first time I ever heard cricket sound. So then we landed in Cape Town and we started to preach. And I tried my best to go out and distribute books. But I was always very paranoid that I might be arrested. And so anyhow, establishing Gaur Nitai, Nitai Gaur Hari, very wonderful. It's a history. One day someone may write more details about it. So I feel very honored to be part of this. That's all, just part of it. If I hadn't come, Prabhupada would have sent someone else. It was already destined. But I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. That's all. That's all it was. So now I'll hand you over to His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Brahmanandi.
Vishnupadaya Krishna Prista Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bastyachade Shatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakapatulipyas Jagripa Sindhu Dyevacha Bhagitana Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. I was feeling very secure sitting just under His Holiness Pathasarathy Maharaj, but now he's gone. My shelter has gone. I will be exposed. But he was so serious, it was really nice for most of it, but then he got a little light, more light-hearted. Anyway, okay. Well, you know what I thought? I thought of one thing. I thought maybe some bold soul could run into the prasadam tent and invite the people to take prasadam here. What do you think? Anyway, if someone feels up to it, just invite them, whatever. But yes, it is the 40th anniversary of the installation of Shishi Nitai Gaurahari. Oh, well, okay. I heard my name. All right. 40th anniversary. Did you know that when the deities were brought from India, one of Lord Nityananda's legs broke off, I mean, sort of snapped, but was stuck back together. Normally when deities get broken, then they're sort of thrown away or just put one side at least. But the devotees decided to fix Nitai Gaurahari and worship them, install them and worship them. Actually, you may know that Radha London Ishwara in London, they also were broken. And they were imported by a Hindu organization to put in their temple, but one of the legs of one of the deities broke. And so they didn't know what to do with the deities. They were just sitting one side. And Prabhupada went in there. And that's all, you know, we're talking here of Nitai Gaurahari, but he very expertly got the people to give the deities. In fact, he told the devotee, just pick them up and take them. And the devotee did. So Nitai Gaurahari, even though by certain standards they would not normally be worshipped, but because of the devotion of the devotees, they're such amazing deities, so powerful. And we mentioned yesterday that as deities are worshipped for more years and more years and longer, all the devotion of the devotees worshipping them, it goes into the deities and empowers the deities further. They're already powerful. They're the Supreme Lord. But all the devotion goes in, all the love, and the deities become empowered further. So Nitai Gaurahari are like that. Very special deities. They were already installed when I arrived. That was January 1980. I landed in Joburg and we had a temple in just down the hill from Yeovil, just near Saratoga, if you know Saratoga Avenue, Smith Street, just above there. And There was a devotee named Shrutadev who was president, so I arrived, stayed overnight, and then I was there for the morning program. And the devotees, there's a little temple room, and everyone put their shoes just outside the door, and we were all in the morning program. And we came out after the morning program, our shoes were not there. All of them, there were no shoes there. You know, in some places, sometimes one pair of shoes may be stolen, but this was now all the shoes. And Vijay Baladev Prabhu, which leg is broken? Oh, Mother Jai Radhika, yeah. Oh, it's Lord Chaitanya. Which leg, right or left? Right or left? Right leg. Lord Chaitanya. Okay. Anyway, let's by the way. So here we are. Left leg. Lord, his left leg. Lord Chaitanya. Yes, so there we were, no shoes. What happened? You know where the shoes were? In the swimming pool. That was my welcome. Shoes in the swimming pool. Because the temple president, I didn't know. All the devotees came for the morning program, just put their shoes there. It's quite normal. But he didn't like it. All the shoes were in the temple, in the swimming pool. That was my welcome to South Africa. But after a few days, Jayatirtha came. He was the GBC and Zonal Guru, actually. And we went to Durban, and it was a convention. I think it's called the Mahatma Gandhi Hall. It's right in the center there. We had a convention for two nights, all the Namahattus, in those days we called them service groups, each group put on some presentation, a bhajan, a little drama, something, and it went on for two nights. It was really amazing. I was so impressed. When I came down to become the temple president in Cato Ridge, so those first few days are over, so now I'm settling in a bit, and one devotee named Bimal Prasad Das from Zambia originally, but then settled in South Africa. He had been acting temple president. So he wrote a report for me of like who all the resident devotees are and what they're like. You know, what to look out for, their good points and weaker points, etc. And he had a real sense of humor. It was quite amazing. Every report on every devotee was a bit humorous. And particularly the report on Bhakta Chinky. Bhakta Chinky. From Peter Maritzburg. He was a kind of middle-aged person, Indian extraction. So, you know what he said about Bhakta Chinky, what I should look out for? In fact, all he said was, stinks when he drinks. And I thought, what on earth is this? Stinks when he drinks. And, well, as I soon found out, our Bhakta Chinky temple resident devotee had a you know, he was an alcoholic. We had an alcoholic living in the temple. I mean, an active, practicing alcoholic. We used to make this incense, agabati. And we get the sticks with no aroma, and we would dip them in different scented oils, but the oils were so strong you had to cut them with alcohol. Yeah. I mean, like any commercial perfume that you buy in the shops, any, it's usually 95% alcohol. So it was like that. What we dipped the incense sticks into was some, it was 90 or 95% alcohol. And when I say alcohol, I mean alcohol, the real thing. And we had to keep that place under lock and key, because poor old Bhakta Chinky, when he got in there, anyway, say no more. And Bimal Prasad, he had a real sense of humor. He had a nickname for everyone. Everyone had a nickname. And one devotee who was mentioned earlier by somebody, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he's in England now as far as I know, his name was Jayanteya. Just think, if you gave a nickname to someone named Jayanteya, what might it be? Anyway, his nickname was Giant Potato. This was Bimal Prasad, so everything was a joke. Everything was a joke. Yeah, so then I moved in there, and Nitai Gaur Hari were on the altar, and they were very beautiful. And the head, well, actually, Bimal Prasad, I think, was the head pujari, Baba Jai Radhika, at that point, 1980, sort of, for some of the time at least. And you know, he was very, very attentive to the deities. The deities were really looked after nicely. And one, this devotee Gokulendra, you've heard him mentioned several times already this afternoon, this evening. This devotee Gokulendra, he taught me, or it was, you know, well known, but you may not know, how ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, was legally registered in South Africa. It is an interesting little story, let me tell you. He, because he was the only South African devotee, pretty much, and at that time, at least, he was the only white South African. Anyway, maybe not, but maybe there was a second one at that point. Rinchini. But anyway, he was the only white male devotee, South African. So he went to Pretoria to do the registration. This was 1975, if I remember correctly. So he went in there, and in those days, devotees and friends, listen to this, Pretoria was Pretoria, something like that. Pretoria, ek is from Pretoria, from so he went to, and there was a classic Afrikaans bureaucrat who received the application for registering International Society of Krishna Consciousness, in brackets, South Africa. So this gentleman looked at the application, and he spoke English, sort of, and he said, no, you can't be the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. You must be the South African Society for Krishna Consciousness. No ISKCON, you must be SASKCON. Seriously. And this devotee Gokulendra said, well, you know, I understand, but the thing is, we are part of an international organization. We're just all over the world in the majority of the countries, and therefore we're the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON. But our bureaucrat friend said, no, this is South Africa. You must be the South African Society for Krishna Consciousness, SASKCON. And Gokulendra, his wife, had made some simply wonderfuls, just in case, some simply wonderfuls. So, and Gokulendra at that point, he remembered, and he said, oh, just a moment, here. He pulled out a simply wonderful, just stuck it in the man's hand. These things don't normally happen with these bureaucrats. And the guy's now looking at this thing, sort of yellowy white color, round, handmade. He didn't know what to make of it. And Gokulendra said, my wife made it for you. Please take a bite. So the man looked at it again from different angles and took a bite. And when he took a bite, he became thoughtful. He looked into space while chewing. You know, focused. And then he said, all right, you can be the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So therefore, we are all now members of ISKCON and not SASKCON. Yeah, let's have a look here. Okay, so, right. Well, we went through a few crises. Oh, my Lord. We went through a few crises. We had a lake at the bottom of, it's 120 acres, that's pretty big. Down the bottom was a lake. It was a couple of acres, or even 3 acres in size. It was not a small thing. It was a dam. And one student, university student, who didn't know how to swim, we had a canoe there. It was Bimal Prasad. Remember Bimal Prasad? He said, this is for fish protection. Yeah. Fish protection. So this one student went out in the canoe, but unfortunately didn't know how to swim. Neither did he know how to handle a canoe properly. And good night, student. Seriously. We had one child, Sunday program. A busload came from Mirbank. One child, like I think 8 years old, around that age. Up at the top, we had a brick water holding type of thingy. substantial. And one child fell in, and that was the end of the child. Oh boy. You know, we had a few dramas. And then, what happened at the end of 1981 was, I will not go into the details because it's a bit too colourful, but one devotee got really upset with a couple of the seniors, not myself, fortunately. So he went to the police. Well, I must preface this by saying, I must tell you a very important piece of information. At that time, all the senior devotees were foreigners, every last one. There were about 20 foreigners, and there were two temples, the temple presidents and various others. They were foreigners, and the others were more junior. Most of them were Prabhupada disciples, I mean the foreigners, and the others, locals, were more junior. And we, in order to come, we had a policy, you get a tourist visa for 3 months, that was the normal thing if you want to visit South Africa, you get a tourist visa for 3 months and you come, and you can extend it for another 3 months, total 6, and that's it, then you can't extend it further, you must go. Our official policy, it was almost in our memorandum and articles of association, is that when your your extension runs out, don't worry about it. Just stay on. So every single one, without exception, of the foreign devotees who were all the seniors, was here illegally. Tulsidas, who has been mentioned, did great service. He, there was a policy also that if you want to go, if you feel you have to go after 6 months is finished already, then what you do, you put your passport through the washing machine. And then you go out. Make sure that, you know, the stamps for South Africa have been obscured. I'm completely serious. This was normal. This was just totally normal. But otherwise, the general pattern became just stay on. But Tulsidas, when he washed his passport, maybe for the second time, and left, he decided to change his name. His name was John West, sort of pretty ordinary name for an American person. Would you take a guess what he changed his name to so it would fit into the South African white culture? You know, take a wild guess. How about John Kruger? To John Kruger. Oh my God. Yeah, and came in and overstayed his visa and just stayed on. So that this, I mentioned about the one devotee got really upset, like too upset completely. He reported to the police. But there are 20 foreigners here, Hare Krishnas, and they're all here completely illegally, just, you know, thumbing their noses at your immigration policies. So the police then came to Cato Ridge, because it was our main center. They came to Cato Ridge. I was the temple president. They met me. I told them that I was Ranjit. He was South African. This is now, I'd say, what would it be? Very early 82, like January. Yeah. I said I was Ranjit, I forget what his name was. Bernstein, I think, Richard Bernstein. So I said, yeah, that's who I am. And I'm South African. They took a photo of me, went back, looked in their records, realized I was not Richard Bernstein. We got wind of this. So a group of us, well, all the foreign devotees living in the temple there, there's about half a dozen of us in Cato Ridge itself. So we all left Cato Ridge. And there was almost a farewell party. It was amazing. All the local devotees who didn't have to go, they all came out and they were wishing us the best and everything. And we went down to, if you're familiar with Durban or Tongaat area, Desai Naga. La Mercy, just a little further. Desai Naga. And our very good friends were Dr. Desai and his family from that area. And they had a holiday house, which had been our ISKCON temple for some time, on the beach. Just a beautiful place. Just a beautiful place. So we went and hid there, would you believe, devotees? And we were there for some, like a week, and looking out, are the police coming? But no police came. But then Tulsidas, John Kruger, he decided, he actually met with Mr. Raj Bansi, if you remember him, the late Indian politician who, you know, was sort of in cahoots with the National Party. They used to call him Mr. 7% because he won the election by, amongst the Indians, by getting 7% of the vote. Oh gosh. So yeah, Mr. Raj Bansi, he stepped up. Credit must be given. You know, he was connected to the National Party, and like it or not, the National Party was definitely the government of South Africa at that point. So he started a process of convincing them that actually they should be lenient with us. So this was arranged, now after like a week. So then we went in and handed ourselves in. Yeah. And normally if you're found to be illegally in a country, you are normally out within by nightfall. You'll be locked up and then put on the plane. If you remember earlier, Madhavi Prabhu said, oh, there he is right there. He was deported from England twice as a devotee, sent all the way back to America. And I think it was the same day or the next day that you got deported.
They put me on trial.
Oh, they put you on trial. Then they waved you goodbye. So yeah, but in many places, either they lock you up and throw away the key and then kick you out, or they just kick you out and you're out within 24 hours. So that none of us got kicked out. Not a one. We were all allowed to stay. We were allowed to apply for work permits. Everyone got a work permit. And I must say, credit goes to Mr. Raj Bansi, despite what, you know, any other things he did or how other people may feel about him. So yeah, we're all allowed to stay. So then, let's see here. Oh, I must say a couple of things about the 10 campaign, the things you must know. 10 campaign. Parthasarathy Maharaj told me the story personally. That there was one young boy. He was like maximum 10. He might have been 8, sort of 8 to 10. Just very, very young boy. Should have been in school. But I don't know how it worked out. He ended up in the 10th campaign. Yeah, just bunked school altogether. I don't know if he had parents or what. He was kind of Indian come colored sort of fellow. Young boy. So, and he was an integral part of the 10th campaign. One night, well, Parthasarathy Maharaj used to live on a bus. A bus, which was part of the 10th campaign paraphernalia. One night, one drunk staggered onto the bus. And he was just sort of so goofy, he couldn't even speak. He was just kind of spinning there, just inside the bus. And this boy, Roshan, he came to Parthasarathy Maharaj, who was down at the back, and he had like a room at the back. And he said, you know, this fella is here, and he's drunk. And Parthasarathy Maharaj told him, tell him to go away. And you know, Parthasarathy Maharaj, he's British, and you know, he's got that sort of gentility about him. But not Roshan. He was from a rough sort of background. So Roshan went straight up to this man, looked him in the eye and said, go away! And the drunk man just sort of, you know, didn't move. He just spun around. And so Roshan came back and said, the fella won't go away. And Parthasarathy Maharaj told him, tell him to go away nicely. Tell him to go away nicely. So Roshan went back to him and said, go away nicely. I was out there at Cato Ridge. You probably know where that is. It's sort of 45 minutes to an hour's drive from Durban, something like that. And I'd come in regularly, and we had a Sankirtan party. Tribhanga Sundar Prabhu was the leader. Sri Hari Prabhu was part of it. Japamala Prabhu, who's still around in Durban, sort of connected. And one devotee who's late Sanatan Goswami. So they were very active. Very, very active. Doing Sankirtan in and around Durban, North Coast, South Coast. And the 10th campaign was going on, so I'd go down and I'd often visit the 10th campaign. And when Yavat Prabhu, I don't know if he's here, oh there he is, right, was singing as Parthasarathy Maharaj, he started off just the first part of the mantra just right, but then he started getting it wrong. He started off, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's the way it goes. Yeah, not Hare Krishna, but Hare Krishna. Yeah. When you associate enough with a person, you pick up so many things. So, And Partha Maharaj would give these really wonderful classes every night. And of course, everyone on the right side, left side, and so on. And they do these dramas. They did the fish play. I don't know if you've ever seen the fish play. It's an ISKCON classic. It's such a classic. It's done actually in many places around the world. It's a comedy. But it's almost got sort of horror elements sort of thrown in. It's interesting. And just an interesting point, the devotees in England do it. And many years ago, in the 70s even, or the early 80s, the director of, have you ever heard of the Rocky Horror Show in England? Really famous. He wanted to do the fish play. I don't know if he ever did it, yeah. So Parthasarathi Maharaj was always Dr. Swat-a-Lot, if you know the fish play. Dr. Swat-a-Lot. Mr. Fish falls from Goloka Vrindavan into this world, and he's lost. He doesn't know where he is, what to do, or how it works. So he meets Professor Swat-a-Lot, or Dr. Swat-a-Lot, Professor, who tells him, you need an education. This is Parthasarathi Maharaj. You need an education. And so I'll ask you some questions. What is the, something like, what is the square root of the hypotenuse of a rhomboid rectangle? I don't know if you know enough about mathematics to follow that. So, is it, let's see, is it A, or is it B, or is it C? And Mr. Fish gets bewildered, and he says, I just can't see! I just can't see! And Professor Swat-a-Lot would say, C! That's the right answer! He'd ask him a few questions, crazy questions. You know, is it one or two or three? Oh, it's too much! It's too much! Two! You're right! And in the end he'd say, all right, so now you get your diploma. And what would he give him? A toilet roll. Which he would roll out. It was hilarious. It was completely out of this world. And they did this other play, Lust, Anger, and Greed. And the devotee, they called him Yashoda, his name was actually Yashoda Vatsala. He would be anger. And lust, anger, and grief, they're people. And when anger comes in, devotees and friends, he would come in from the back of the tent, screaming and roaring. And devotees, I kid you not, I am not lying to you, he would go through the audience and throw people around, literally grab them from behind, push them out of the way. And I saw once he picked up a small child and threw her into the air and just walked off. I think she landed safely, but anyway. I tell you, that tent campaign was just completely out of this world. And as a result, people loved it. Even when, you know, they started before television arrived, but even after television arrived, still loads of people would come because it was such an amazing show. Let's see, okay. Yeah, I'm not going to go on for too long, but let us just... It was, what was it now? 1985. What should I mention? Radharadnath Temple opened. And just after that we sold Cato Ridge. And Nittai Gora Hari came up to Mulder's Drift. You know where that is, sort of northwestern side of Joburg, not too far from Rudaport. So Nittai Gora Hari came up. And there was one half-built shed. Our idea was not to build a temple, get planning permission, build a temple, move the deities in. You know what we did? We had this sort of shed. It was a shed, actually. And in 1 week end, Saturday and Sunday, we built the deity house. Friday night, it was not there. Monday morning, it was there. And Nittai Gora Hari were inside. So this is now probably, I think, 1986, kind of early-ish. And Mulder's Drift was a white area. You know, pretty white, actually. A bit on the conservative side. And you know what we're like. You know, well, we were just typical Hare Krishna temple. And we had our Sunday program. And it wasn't big as it is now, but we'd get 50, 60 people. And it was very mixed. Very mixed. Some white people, some Indian people, maybe sort of equal numbers, some African, some colored, not so many, but some. So it was really a bit of a mixed bag. Someone complained. So 86 we went on. It was 1990. Someone complained. We'd already been there a few years. Life was going on. Someone complained. And who should come? There used to be, it might have even been 89 that the whole mess started, but someone came from a governmental department called Peri-Urban. I don't think they exist now, but Peri-Urban dealt with land use in the sort of the belt surrounding the city. Not out into the countryside, but just, you know, going a few kilometers out where you get small holdings and people are living, but it's not really urban, peri-urban. So they got some complaints. And they were your classic, you know, verkrumpter, Afrikaans bureaucrats. If you're an Afrikaner, please don't mind. Try not to. Oh my God. Anyway, they were classic Afrikaans career bureaucrats. That's it. So they told us, you know, this is illegal. What you're doing is illegal. Not only do you have mixed races living here, and not just in the sort of, you know, typical staff quarters, but just living together. But on Sunday, you have 50 or 60 or 70 people of all races coming, and this is illegal. This is very serious. So they made a case. They made a court case. It was a big thing. And a whole committee of them, like 10, they came, and the court case was in our property. And would you believe, we were found guilty. We were found guilty of breaking or contravening the Group Areas Act. Yeah. So they told us, okay, we said we want to appeal. We want to appeal. They said, okay, but after such and such length of time, then we will start charging you. Actually, I forget exactly how much, but it was some few hundred rands, like maybe five, which in those days was worth a lot more than it is today, per day. Per day. That we continue to contravene their sacred Group Areas Act. So we had a meeting of our main congregational members, the main ones of the different groups who would come on Sunday, and we put it to them, would you mind not coming? Oh my God. Well, there is a saying, it went over like a lead balloon. Have you heard that before? Can you understand what a lead balloon is? Lead is very heavy. I tell you, they didn't accept that idea at all. And we didn't know what to do. Because we just really didn't know what to do. Because we couldn't afford to pay 500 rands a day. So what to do? Well, you know what happened. Devotees, listen to this. Krishna intervened in 1990, before our appeal was even scheduled to be heard. The Group Areas Act was, what would you call it, eliminated. Yeah, it was just cancelled. So, and Perry Urban, they didn't even have the decency to tell us, you know, we're not going to push this any further, you know, so just don't worry. We just didn't hear from them. We just didn't hear from them again. Yeah, so Nittai Gaura Hari were there. They were there through all of this. And I think it was, you know, without a doubt, they were at the very least connected with this whole thing. Yeah. So then, don't worry, we're getting there. What now? Okay. Well, it was about 91 or 2, I forget, we moved to Hillbrow. Actually, Keshava Krishna Prabhu, if I remember correctly, and myself, we the idea was get a place in the city so we can preach more, rather than way out in the, you know, beyond the outskirts. It was a little too far out there, Melbourne Drift. So we found a couple of places. We found a beautiful place, really amazing, in Houghton, right on the highway. It's still there. Right on the highway. 550,000 rand, no offers. You can't make an offer dependent on planning permission. They're just selling it. But then Tribhunga Sundarprabhu was to become the president. We also found this place in Hillbrow, which was massive, 6 floors high, many rooms, for it was, what was it, 620, I think, thousand. Anyway, between him and Bhakti Charuvaraj, they decided on that place. I would have gone for the place in Houghton. It was just really nice. And huge. And big grounds. It was just amazing. Anyway, so we ended up in Hillbrow for a while. As Hillbrow was becoming a bit more like Hellbrow. Anyway, it was becoming rough. I don't know, have you ever been in Hillbrow on January the 1st morning, like 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, have you? It's like, it's a battle zone. It's a war zone. Oh, it's a war zone. It's amazing. Our street, you walk out onto the street, is just glass from one end of the road to the other, with televisions which have been thrown from many stories up, and chairs and tables and some cars which things had landed on. Woo! So we decided maybe it's not the right place for us. So then we moved to, we actually moved to the dance academy. We moved, Nitai Gaura Hari moved to the dance academy. You know that dance academy? I Impala, is it Impala? Or is this Impala? That's Impala. Impala Crescent. Right. It's a nice place. It's actually a very nice place. Too small. It was really too small, unfortunately. Although it was just a beautiful place. So Nitai Gaura Hari stayed there for a while. I forget how long. But then as, was it Nanda Kumar Prabhu or somebody said, one devotee, Dharmaraj Das, who was living, I think, Lanesha South, he told us about this place. So then we got this place, and Nitai Gaura Hari moved here, and they seem to be quite happy here, I think, yeah. So that's sort of my story, a little abbreviated, I must admit. But here we are now. Sri Sri Nitai Gaura Hari, our resident here, they're really resident here. Hopefully in the future we may be able to build a bigger, more suitable temple for them, although this is sort of big enough at the moment. But you know how it works. However big a place you get or build for the deities as a temple, pretty quickly it's just the right size. Yeah. Could be any size, but it fills up. So here we are at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Nitai Gaura Hari. We offer our most humble thanks to them and appreciation to them for their mercy, their kindness in coming into our lives and being situated here in our home in this Gauteng area, presiding over everything and presiding over us and giving us their mercy. Sri Sri Nitai Gaura Hari Ki. Sri Sri Nitai Gaura Hari Ki. Sri Sri Nitai Gaura Hari Ki. Gaura Premanande. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for that.